We're joined on the line now by the Minister for Employment Affairs and Social Protection, Regina Doherty. Minister, thank you very much for joining us this morning. I understand that these are quite strange circumstances where perhaps in other circumstances you might like to keep your head low and await for another new administration to come in and allow you back into the real world. But I suppose we are where we are. First of all, talk us through the legislation that you and the government is likely to be introducing into the Dáil this coming Thursday on sick pay. In fact, will you be in the Dáil yourself to do that?
I won't, Gavin, no. One of the other ministers, I think, will take the legislation, and what it will do is it will make legal the decisions that we made at the cabinet meeting during the week, which was to remove the conditions that would normally be associated with illness benefit, namely the amount of cons that you need, the contributions that a person would need to be able to apply for it, namely the 6-day wait period. Normally, somebody who's ill doesn't get paid for the first 6 days. That's going to be removed. And also the price increase from €203 per week to €305 per week. It seems like an awfully long time ago when we made those decisions, Gavin, but it was less than a week ago when we absolutely wanted to be sure that people wouldn't be making decisions to go to work if they felt they weren't well or if they needed to isolate because of financial issues. And that's why we increased the payment to €305. We're also looking at the job seekers payment this week, and I've never been more grateful that we introduced job seekers benefit for the self-employed last year, but never knowing how vast and how quickly it was going to be used. But job seekers benefit is now available to all employees and the self-employed should their employment be affected by the crisis that we're going through at the moment.
So freelancers are those in other industries that where their bookings or their livelihoods have effectively dried up, that it will be available to them to apply for?
Absolutely everybody who's on a Class S contribution is now eligible for job seekers benefit since we changed the law last November. So yes, anybody that has had their income impacted because of the virus and the crisis that we're going through at the moment can avail of either job seekers, be they self-employed or an employee, if they are sick or have to self-isolate as a result of the virus and COVID-19, they can apply for illness benefit, and also their we're looking at, as was suggested by one of your previous callers, we're looking at parents who have to stay at home because their children have to be staying at home because of the schools and the closures of the creches. So.
Okay, so it's a fairly comprehensive response all in. I know that one of the concerns around the practicalities when the government announced these measures last Monday was the idea of having to be certified for illness benefit, or what we come to know as sick pay, because ordinarily you'd need a doctor's note. In these current circumstances, it's not always as easy as going to a GP and getting that note. Is there any change on how that assessment or how that level of things will work?
There's not at the moment, but obviously we're in cooperation with the IMO on a daily basis, and they are still saying that we will be medically certifying people, and that's the situation as of today. But I think your listeners are aware we're reviewing situations on a daily basis based on the best medical advice and based on the presentations. And so the IMO are quite comfortable that they can still provide medical certs in the normal way that we used to, which was if you were ill, you applied for illness benefit and your doctor sent in electronically the certs to the department on a daily or a weekly basis. That's continuing to happen, but obviously we will review based on the capacity on a daily basis going forward. So the illness payments system is as it was from an application perspective, albeit all of the conditions are being changed to legislation this week.
Given the fairly widespread changes that you've outlined there, and obviously we're now going to be paying illness benefit at a higher rate, and you'll have more people who are entitled to access job seekers allowance than was the case before, I accept that this is an evolving situation, but is there any indication how much more this is going to cost your department this year? Because while all of these things are very urgent and very much appreciated by those who will benefit from them, they are of course going to cost a pretty huge amount to the state as a whole.
Yeah, they do. And actually, I think we should be very thankful that, number one, the economy can bear these costs, that we're in a position to be able to respond as effectively as we have been the last week. We're doing our modelling numbers, but I think it's very difficult to say, number one, how many people are going to be ill, how many people are going to lose their jobs, and for how long. But either way, I know the finances of the state, obviously they're not finite, but there is money in the bank to make sure that we can look after people in the best interest of those people, hopefully in the short to medium term.
So acute as these pressures might be, it doesn't look like there's any case of people being fearful that the state will run out of the resources to deal with this.
I obviously future, and I don't know how long this is going to be. But what I do know is that most of the payments in our department are demand-led. And so if there's a demand for income support, which there very, very clearly is, you can hear it both on the representative bodies that you've spoken to, but you can see it all over our social media platforms. People have lost their incomes this week because either their outlets or their organisations are downsizing or closing. People are staying at home because they can't go to work. Not everybody can remotely work, although I think it's hugely impressive the amount of organisations that have kicked in so fast to allow their businesses and their bodies to be able to work from home. But we will be here. The Department of Social Protection is an income support department. We have not a finite budget, but what we need to do is to make sure that we get everybody through this crisis for the coming weeks, to make sure that we give them the income supports that they need to allow them to be able to self-care and to care for the communities and the loved ones that they have at home.
Without meaning to make light of the circumstances that we're in, but obviously politically speaking, we're in pretty strange circumstances where you weren't elected as a member of the new Dáil that we currently have, but you still remain as a caretaker minister, or at least as a fully constituted minister, but in a caretaker capacity. It must be a fairly surreal time when you might be looking with one eye at, you know, trying to move on with your life and going back into what I remarked as the real world earlier on, while still having to devote every waking moment to dealing with this in the short term.
I think, to be fair, this you certainly couldn't call this normal times whatsoever. So, yeah, I didn't get elected, and I did expect not to be doing this kind of work, but the responsibility is there on the current cabinet to make sure that we make the right decisions for our people on a daily basis based on the best medical advice. That's a responsibility that I genuinely bear with a full heart, to make sure that we do make the changes in our department, which, as you know, is one of the largest financing departments for people with income support in the state. We will do that. I will gladly bear that responsibility for as long as it takes. But these are not normal times, and people are not really interested in me or my circumstances. They're interested in making sure that we make the right decisions that make sure that they can get through the next couple of weeks, and that's what we're going to continue to do.
I know the Constitution is fairly robust and it provides for all of this, and it says that the current government isn't in any way curtailed about what it can do as long as it's able to get the Dáil's approval for all of this. And I don't mean this specific to your own example, but does it sit uneasily with you that in circumstances like this, legitimate legally as it may be, that there is a sort of perhaps maybe a moral question over whether the government is empowered to act as it's acting right now?
I think, to be fair, in the absence of a new government, this government will continue to make decisions. But we're doing it in cooperation with all of the opposition parties. I don't think there's anybody acting roguely. I think everybody, including all of the opposition parties, are acting in the best interest of our people, because that's the situation we're in. And I don't think anybody would thank us to make this political. This is far removed from politics. The Irish people expect whoever is in charge of the wheel today to make the decisions in the best interest of the state, and that's why we're following the best medical advice to the T. That's why we're making political decisions as quickly and as responsively to that best medical advice as we can. We have the newly established COVID Cabinet Committee, we have the newly established stakeholders group, and obviously we have the emergency team, a planning team that are meeting not just daily, in some cases twice and three times daily. Every single person that has an active responsibility has to make sure that whatever we do and however we do it, it's in the best interest of our people. And I don't think anybody bears that responsibility lightly. And that's equally on the shoulders of all of the opposition parties, because, as you say, we wouldn't dream of making a decision that doesn't have the cooperation of the Oireachtas. And that's where we're working, and that's the platform we're working off at the moment.
In some ways, although there has been some calls effectively for a national unity government, in some ways, because of the vehicles that we have and the drive for political consensus around what the government is doing, do we, in effect, have something of a national unity government by proxy anyway, that it's just simply the case that you and your ministerial colleagues are the ones who are still in the seats for now?
I think, to be fair, the decisions that are being made collectively. I know that after every cabinet meeting that we have, we're meeting the leaders of the 9 opposition parties to make sure that they're on board, and also taking on board some of their suggestions. I think one of the things I've said for the last 10 years in politics is that there's no monopoly on wisdom. This is the time for us all to pull together, and that doesn't mean the body politic. That means the Irish society, Irish people. We all need to recognise that we're all in the same situation. Some of us are more vulnerable than others, but we need to make sure that we look after the vulnerable people. And so government formation talks, yes, I'm sure they will continue. But right now, the Irish people expect us to make decisions in their best interest. And they don't really care whether your colour is green or blue or yellow. They need to make sure that we all know that we're going to act responsibly, in a timely manner, and in the best public health and public interest that we can. And that's what we're trying to do. So.
I accept that I'm catching perhaps on the hop with this, but just one listener question which has come in, which is probably something which would be very at the top of other listeners' minds as well. The idea of temporary business closures and how exactly that will be dealt with by the social welfare system.
So the social welfare system looks after employees and looks after individuals. And that's what we've done with the move we've made this week with regard to illness payments and job seekers payments. And obviously the access to our emergency payments through our SWA has all been enacted. And our staff are working incredibly hard. And I genuinely would like to take the opportunity to thank them, because not only have they worked very hard over the last couple of days, they've worked all weekend and will continue to serve the Irish people over the coming weeks. The business element has been looked after by the Department of Business and Enterprise and the Department of Finance. And it's through our stakeholders forum, which is meeting a number of occasions a week. It's through meetings with the banks. It's through meetings with the revenue commissioners that are being announced, that are being held, first of all, and that the outcomes of those meetings are being announced by the Minister for Finance, the Minister for Enterprise. We're trying to cover all bases here. And that's, even the cleverest of people are not going to foresee every single ask that's going to come of you. We thought we were, you know, dealing with things last Monday. By Wednesday, we had a different set of scenarios, and that's why the emergency planning meetings are happening on a daily basis, and we are responding to the very many asks of both businesses and individuals and healthcare professionals, literally as they come in, and in as quick and as a timely manner as we possibly can.
This is
a challenging time, Jeff.
One other practical concern. Some people are asking about what would happen with social welfare payments in the event that individual post offices perhaps had to close because they couldn't safely staff themselves. Should the system be perhaps switched over to bank transfer immediately, or would it be, you know, a bad idea to have vulnerable people queuing up unnecessarily when they could be putting themselves at risk in doing so?
So again, in collaboration with AnPost this week, we've made a number of changes. First of all, obviously, if a post office does have to close, you can go to the next nearest post office if you want to. Second of all, if a person can't present themselves to a post office because they might feel vulnerable, we have a trusted partner scheme whereby you can make one of your next of kin or somebody else in your family that trusted partner. Now, that always existed, but it's probably more relevant today. They can go and collect your social welfare payment in the event of you not being able to. And also, you can obviously change your social welfare payment to be paid electronically into your bank. But we know how important our post offices are and will continue to be. And so that's why there's a range of options there. Your trusted partner and somebody else can collect it for you. Or in the event of you wanting it paid into your bank account, that certainly can be arranged. But I think our post have been great this week and will continue to be so over the coming weeks.
Minister for Employment Affairs and Social Protection, Regina Doherty, thank you very much for joining us this morning on The Last
Word.
Very much do appreciate your time, and good morning to you.